Often imitated, never duplicated. The one and only B. Scott. You're listening to The B. Scott Show. Get ready, love muffins.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Right before we about to start this, yes, some applause. Denver, show me. What happened? It's popped up in your phone?
So I have this photos widget on my phone, and it shows me just random photos that are just in my phone from 10 years, and you were on it today.
With Mariah.
Yep.
With my Mimi.
Yep.
Yes, and baby, why did that makeup look like that? That makeup looked like...
It was a flash.
It was a flash?
Yeah, it's a flash.
Was that when we were in Vegas together?
No, I don't know. I wasn't here. This was just... I don't even know why.
Jesus.
Yeah.
No, that was a night that I did my own makeup because I... You know, the thing about it, this is a fun fact. I really don't know how to do my makeup well. Mm. I'm not one of those girls. When you see me beat and snatched up, it's because another skilled artisan has went to work on my face. Mm. And so that was one of the nights that I used the concealer the wrong way.
I'm gonna conceal everything.
Yes, I conceal my face. So much so when you showed that to me, I was like, who is that? But thank you for showing me that.
Memories.
A lot of memories. And one thing that I will say, my makeup looked great and was snatched, was on the premiere of my show.
It sure was.
The premiere of my show.
Bring those claps back.
Bring the claps back. Yay. Okay, well. It aired last week. Mm-hmm. And it airs every week, you know, the 20s after show with B. Scott airs every week on BET at 10:30. And last week was the premiere episode. And I honestly feel like it is an out-of-body experience.
I would imagine.
It's crazy. It's like literally like the thing that I have been working for so long in Los Angeles since I moved here in 2005. And speaking of Mariah, you know, she had an album called The Elusive Chanteuse. Mm-hmm. And well, my show was The Elusive Motherfucking Show. Because when I tell you, I have done everything. I did every possible pitch meeting, every possible attachment to different people that I thought was going to help me. And it literally did like a Thanos, you know, when he snapped his finger and people just disappeared. There were situations where it felt so tangible that it literally went away as just as quickly as it came. And this situation feels so surreal because it's real.
It's here.
It's like...
I watched it and your name was in my DVR.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Literally crazy. And I'm just trying to... Even though I have so much going on in my life and so many things, I'm trying to give myself space and permission to feel like I accomplished something. To feel like I don't immediately have to go into all the other things I have to do. We all have a tendency to do that. Like we have a victory or when something goes well, like, but we just focus on the negative.
Right, that's great, but...
Yeah, like I came in here today. Like I came in and all this amazingness is going on with the show. BET just released a press release about their biggest night in a long time, 5.6 million
viewers,
and my show contributed to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, I need to know a little bit better about those numbers, but there was one thing where it says it went plus 31%. So something when my...
Something went up.
Something went
up. As long as it went up.
And to think about the fact that, you know, it's a... Yay.
Yay.
But all that's going on, I came here today, though, and I was like, oh, something's going on at my house, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And then I was like, okay, I need to get a bottle of Lady A.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Soho House.
Yes.
For those of you who have not been to the Soho House, you have to come, if you do come to the Soho House, you have to get Lady A.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Lady K.
Yeah.
But I still like Lady A. And we're talking about rosés.
Yes.
I'm a Lady A type of bitch.
I know, that's right.
Until they come out with a Lady B. You know, and so, but I needed to change the mood. I had to remind myself I'm blessed.
Yep.
I had to remind myself how far I've come.
Yeah.
And just think about that. Like, literally, you know what I mean? Like,
I bet your name is in a press release with ratings.
With ratings. My name is in the press release with Tyler Perry and Lena Waithe.
That's a big deal.
In that press release, there, none of the talent that were on these particular shows were mentioned.
Right.
Okay. And I mentioned with the heavy hitters.
Okay.
The Titans.
The names in the title.
Little old me. Bathsheba.
Was that a biblical reference?
It's a biblical reference.
Oh, okay.
I don't really remember what Bathsheba did, but I think Bathsheba slept with somebody. I don't know.
What?
Right. I think Bathsheba was the reason that she started the war, didn't she? David. Come on, Janice.
Is that the same Goliath, Janice? David? Or is it different David?
She tempted David, and David didn't want Bathsheba, didn't want to give her up. Oh, that's what started the war. He took Bathsheba from the king. And the king said, yep. David went and took Bathsheba from the king and would not give her back.
Oh.
And then the king was like, okay, I'm going to come get that ass. The king said on sight. And if my story
sounds like Game of Thrones to me.
And if my story is not right, but, you know, I'm sure some biblical historian that's watching will be in my DMs. But
they always are.
They always are.
You said.
Yeah. But my mother, the reason why I know the Bible so well, my mother would literally sit at the edge of my bed every night and read the Bible. Every night, whether I wanted it or not, she would sit at the edge of my bed and read the Bible, and she would make her way through the entire Bible during the course of the year.
Wow.
So she would literally divide up the scriptures. Rain or shine, no matter what happened, no matter whether I was feeling good or not, I could be in there with the flu. I could be having growing pains because I'm tall. So, you know, I would have these periods of this growing and my legs would be like, ah. And she would sit there and read that. And it absorbed into my brain.
Clearly.
Bathsheba. Hello.
I mean, I read it, but I didn't know the story. I can't recall.
Bathsheba.
My brain's been through too much.
And it reminds me, too, you know, I think this was in the Bible or something close to the Bible. There's a scripture that says what was first will be last and what last will be first. Mm. And what we're seeing with me on BET is that I was last. they definitely snatched my ass off the stage. And now I'm back on the show, on the network, with my own show that I'm executive producing under my own production company.
That's a big deal.
Ahosky Productions. Someone on Twitter said to me, she's like, I didn't know that you were from Ahosky. Yep.
I'm
from.
How do you not?
How do you not know? Right. And I say Ahosky because I'm trying to do it justice because I actually live in a place called, I grew up in a place called Cofield, in between Ahosky and Harrisville. But I just felt like all of that was taking it too far.
Yeah. No, I feel that.
The fact that I'm so country that literally my address is Cofield. I'm in a field. Like, and there's nothing you could quite possibly call it, that area, than a field.
What a field.
And co-field, I guess, like, it's like, you know, co's, you know, like co-parent, co's, like, it's like, it's, people are sharing a field. but yeah, it just feels amazing. This week's, the first week we had Lena Waithe and we had JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I was behind the scenes, I'm going to give a little bit behind the scenes of the situation. The first episode was so emotional to me because of the fact of what I was saying during my monologue and how I am the first trans non-binary person to host and executive produce a show on BET. Also, the fact that this is the moment that I've been waiting for so long and been talking about and been obsessing over and is here.
Yeah.
And there was a point in the monologue where I talked about if you are at home wondering if things get better, if life gets better. I'm a living testament to that. And all of that kind of hit me afterwards. I was getting emotional as I was saying it and recording it, but I actually broke down into tears and I had a whole, remember that moment that I had in New York with Chef Roble and I got upset and snatched a mic and I smashed a mic and all that? I didn't smash the mic this time, but I definitely ripped it off and cried like I had a little breakdown.
You had a moment.
I had a breakdown. It was a release. It was a release of all of the isolation and the rejection and the just the reclusion that I had put myself under for these last 8 years. And I talked about it on my Instagram post. For those You Love Muffins who didn't read the Instagram post, go to @bscott and read my Instagram post where I talked about what I was going through these last 8 years of since the incident happened in 2013, where I felt very judged and publicly humiliated and left out. And it was even happening by my own community.
Yeah.
My own community were, you know, basically saying, until I started taking hormones and you start transitioning and calling myself Brittany, that I wasn't going to be a part of Team Trans. Mm.
Whatever that means.
Whatever that means. Like, they were trying to be the gatekeeper of my identity.
Right.
And
which
let me tell you,
crazy.
And let me tell you something, Love Muffins. Nobody can be the gatekeeper to anything that you feel is true for you. That's our problem with our community. We try to police each other. We don't want nobody to police our bodies, but yet we police each other. And that was all of just that situation kind of manifested in so many different ways, but also it manifested in a beautiful way, which is I focus on the business of B&B Scott, the brand.
Right.
Even though I wasn't visibly in front of it, I focused on lovebscott.com. I focused on the exclusives. I focused on making that a very lucrative business and making it a name that's one of the most respected names in Black media.
Period.
Period. And, you know, I just feel like for me in that moment, it was such a release. And I think we have a clip of it.
Hey, 20s fans and my dear Love Muffins. Welcome to the premiere of 20s After Show with me, your host, the one and only B. Scott. To say it's been a long road would be an understatement, but I am so grateful to be here today in this historic moment. I am the first trans non-binary host and executive producer right here on BET, and that feels so good. To anyone at home that may be going through a rough time and wondering if it gets better, I am here to tell you it does get better. The 20s After Show is the only spot where you get to hear from the cast, get exclusive sneak peeks and behind the scenes tea. Get ready, Love Muffins, because B. Scott is back on BET.
I didn't know
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, yeah. And the crazy thing about that too is just people don't know the behind the scenes of things, but it's like I have a prompter, I have an earpiece, I have about 100 people standing in front of me looking dead in my face. I mean, and just looking at me just
waiting
stuck,
for you to do something.
Waiting for me to do something. And when I tell you it is so quiet, you could hear a monkey fart. Literally.
What?
It was
You know
so,
what? I'm just keep going.
I'm gonna roll today, Bob. She but monkey fart.
I'm lying.
It's literally so quiet on set. It was like this COVID protocol. People couldn't clap, people couldn't do nothing. I'm sitting there and the camera comes zooming in from afar and it comes and swoops in front of me and they're like, you know, 1, 2, B. Scott. And I'm like, oh, I got to hit it, you know. And it's just, it was a cool experience, but it was just definitely in that moment, it was, you've been talking all this shit for all these years, talking about what I can do, what I'm going to do, what I know I'm going to, you know, I'm going to kill this. And you get there. And then you're like, bitch, I don't know. And then it's inside of you, it's like, can you really do it? Bitch, you done really sold this, didn't you, B? bitch, you better get your ass. And then another part of me is like, are you fucking kidding me? If you don't get your ass up there, pull that dress up and mosey all over there. But that's how I felt. It was like, you know, you had that moment of like,
oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Right. It's on me.
It's like when you get on a roller coaster and like you get up to the top and it's about to go over the hill and you're like, shit, I should not have done this.
And then you like,
but you do it and it's so much fun.
And you do it and it's so much fun. And that's to me what it represented. It was like a boot camp of all boot camps. There was no rehearsal times. They were changing the prompter as I was reading the words sometimes. My ear was changing the words that I was reading in my ear. And it was just like a lot of things that I had to get used to. But that is a part of this business we call entertainment and also having a talk show. Mm. And I would like to believe that I killed it.
I think you did a great job.
Thank you. And from what I understand is that most shows that were taping as much as we were taping, they would expect to be leaving around 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I had them out most days by 7 p.m. And at the end of each show, I only had, like, some shows, my goal was to have no pickups. Mm-hmm. And there were some shows where I had no pickups. And if I did have pickups, it was very few. Okay. And typically, the pickups weren't even related to me. It was things they wanted me to say.
Like additions.
Additions that they felt like they needed to cover something the guest had said.
Got you.
So, yeah, I feel really good about that. I am allowing things to play out, as you've noticed. Like, I haven't been on you or being like, let's do this or let's try to do that. I'm like, I'm not let's try to do this type of bitch anymore.
Okay.
I'm going to let... If I don't believe in what God has done for me at this point in my life, I don't know what to tell you. Meaning, I don't have to, you know what I mean? Like, all I have to do is show up and do my best with what God is presenting to me, and that will be enough. Mm. I'm out of the phase of selling it anymore.
I feel that.
And someone told that to me recently, like, B. Scott, you really need to just really stand in the fact that you have done what you needed to do. Now it's about what do you want to do? But when you've been in the struggle and you've been grinding, and it's kind of like even like right now, like I have a house, but I've been in a struggle so long, I still feel like I need to secure another place or I need to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like I'm still in that mode of like, I can't buy too much because like, I might have to pack it all up. I mean, really. It's
no,
like.
I feel you.
It's real trauma. You. It's like, oh, can I splurge on this? I mean, well. You know what I mean? And right. I got the money to splurge, but I was like, I don't know if I should do
it. If I'm going to need it next week for something else.
Right. I may lose it all. You know, but it's just, I'm just trying to believe in abundance. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, I mean, in that press release, I was listed with Tyler Perry and Lena Waithe.
Yeah.
Of course, they are the producers of several shows at BET and Viacom. But just to have my name
in the conversation
is surreal. And to be a part of why BET is celebrating a success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my little old after show is in the mix. It's like, wow. But yeah, so that's really what's been going on in my life. I'm just so grateful for it. I thank you, Love Muffins, for watching the show. I know that it is... pretty much contextualized to 20s. And so if you haven't watched 20s, you know.
You definitely should. And I will say, because I was late to 20s, mm-hmm. but I watched it a little bit before, but I really sat down and watched two episodes when you hosted the Q&A for the premiere. Mm-hmm. That was my first time like sitting there and focusing with my ADHD and watching the show. Mm-hmm. And it's a really cute show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm blown away.
And that's why I told Lena, because I have to be honest. Before the idea, before the Scott Mills brought up, Scott Mills is the president of BET, before he brought up the idea of me doing the after show for 20s, I had not watched a day in my life. I said, 20s. I was like Barbara Ward. I said, 2020. I said, what did this? Okay. They're like, this Lena show. I said, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I still hadn't, because I'm kind of like that sometimes.
Me too.
I still hadn't. But then it got to a point I was like, well.
I got a tape in a week.
So I might need to watch the show. And so I started doing like this, you know, deep dive into 20s. And I remember texting Lena. I was like, this is actually some good shit.
It is.
And it's good. It's provocative. It's thought provoking. And mm-hmm. I believe it's where the culture is now.
Yes.
The culture is inclusive, the culture is intersectional, and this show is all those things.
Had I not known it was on BET, and you told me it was on BET, I would not have believed you.
Absolutely. Had I not thought for a fact, because I mean, unless all this is a crazy ass dream, that I have a show on BET, and I'm sitting up there in a full gown, a tiara, and a scepter,
okay,
with all these dicks.
I was gonna say you were princess and not her dick, so I'm like, princess dicks, where are we going?
No, I'm talking about I was gonna say these dangling things on my dress.
Oh my dicks. But where are you going after this? You got plans?
But then I guess I got stuck when Cardi B said how much dick did in the back of my throat.
Okay. I see, okay. I get it.
That was shocking. That was shocking. That's half the name with us. A scepter, a crown, a dress, and dicks.
Maybe. Shout out to trans non-binary.
And that part. So it was just, I would never have thought that the day would come. It has come, and I am eternally grateful. And this week's episode, I guess we hadn't done the podcast in about 2 weeks.
Last premiered.
Yep, last week was the premiere, and that was Lena and JoJo. And this week it was Amon and Jess Hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of the show this week was when I addressed, and maybe we'll play it next show, the clip of where I allow Jess Hilarious the ability to be able to address the homophobic remarks that she had made in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave her a safe space to do so because I want my show to be that. I want people to feel like they can express themselves and there's no getcha gotcha moments. Mm-hmm. But trust and believe, if you're on the show and you have made some homophobic or transphobic comments, you gonna have to...
Now's your time.
And I'm so happy that she addressed it the way she did.
Mm-hmm.
And that she, you know, wasn't crazy.
Right.
Because it would be crazy to say some crazy shit on my show.
Hello.
As I'm sitting there, you know, beat to high heaven, snatched up with my little ponytail.
I had a little top knot
and my baby hairs.
Yeah. That's a fire outfit, by the way.
Thank you.
It was cute.
And it's
those pictures are cute.
Thank you. The pictures, it actually, Caesar, who did my hair for mm-hmm. the show, his boyfriend is an amazing photographer.
Oh.
And so he asked to be able to take photos after each show so that way I could have, you know, something to remember the show by and something to present on social media.
I was going to ask if you did one for each look. So
each look.
That's fire.
Each look. We did about 20, 30 photos for each look, and I was tired, but I still pull it together to get those photos because after the first day of seeing how they looked, I was like, oh, bitch, I need to show up for this.
You should like frame them and put them in a gallery in your house.
I am.
Like in the foyer, just like boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I am. I you know what's crazy? I don't like watching myself. I don't like my voice. I don't like my photos.
Yeah.
And I'm getting to a point where it's like, bitch, if you don't start liking yourself more, then I don't know what I'm going to do with you. That's what myself is saying to me. Like, you know, like you allow yourself to breathe and not immediately look at a photo and go to the what I don't
what's
like.
Wrong. Yeah, I do that. It's terrible.
So, yeah. So he did that and the photos are great. And the outfits are going to get progressively even more, I feel like, more beautiful. And the looks, I'm going to be wearing like short bob.
Yeah, so you said blonde. You had a bob. I'm ready for the bob.
The bob.
When's the bob?
The bob is coming episode 6 with Kenya.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, and it's a good episode because Kenya is my sister. Mm-hmm. And so we were out there just all type of key-keying. And it was...
Were there drinks involved for the show or no? Was it a dry set?
It was a dry set.
Okay. Just curious.
But I, you know, I would take a sip, you know.
Yeah. I know how you do.
I had a little flask.
Yeah.
I had some little shut your mouth potion, especially when people were getting on my nerves. I was like, Lord, I was like, can I please have some rosé? Because I'm going to start slapping some people up in here. but it was, you know, it was just a experience of a lifetime. We have so many other guests coming. Like I said, it's Wednesdays, 10:30. I'm allowing myself to just be in a great space with it. The promotion has been great. BET is on it. I mean, BET is tweeting, posting, Instagramming. Smoke signaling, sending out press releases.
I love that.
It's just, I can't even keep up.
I love that.
Let me have it. Like, one day I was like, I didn't know they were live tweeting the show. And I had to, like, get in there real fast and scramble and like I was doing it too.
Text me, I would have did it.
I was like, damn, BET's on it.
Let me turn their tweets on, their alerts on so I don't miss anything.
Yeah. And it feels so good to be like, I never had a click. I always felt like I was somewhere on the outside, but I definitely feel with Lena Waithe and Hillman Grad and BET at Viacom now, I have a click.
Good.
You know? And I'm just grateful for it. And, you know, also, what is going on with your face? You got to explain.
Oh, my God. So.
You look like somebody beat your ass.
So,
I mean, literally, you over there looking like a beat.
Okay. So I usually schedule these clear and brilliant facials on days where I don't have to see anybody. Mm. Right?
Are you sure you're not having an allergic reaction to a facial of some sort?
No, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Semen facial.
Oh, no, I'm sure. Maybe if...
Oh, my God.
Mm. And now you're clearing your throat, too.
No. Anyway, I had a laser facial. That laser away earlier today, not knowing that I was going to have to, like... be amongst the people. So it's just kind of the aftermath of that. So I'm purple right now. And I'm in a fucking, I don't know, pink shirt. So I'm just pink.
What was the event you went to last night? They were standing in, on the pool.
So here, it was here. They did a fashion show, Entire Studios. They did a preview of their fall collection, puffer jackets, which, if I'm going to be completely honest, I don't know what that show was. Like they had, you come out and it's fire. There are people, they're standing on the pool. It's great. There's music and everybody's stationary. Very Kanye, very. Mm. You know, we've seen it before. And that's all they did for an hour. They stood there and rotated and stood there and rotated and stood there. It's cold. We're not wearing puffers. Like, I don't know if we're supposed to be there for the whole show or not. But it was just, it didn't really give what it was supposed to have gave. But the clothes are cute. So, yeah, that was that.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was like, what is going on? I mean, Soho House, they do have some really interesting random events with random people that I have never heard of. But it, sometimes it works and sometimes it's like, oh.
Right. Like, I don't know who called in a favor, but it's clear somebody called in a favor because I would not have paid for that. Like, we left and went downstairs and had dinner.
Oh, wow.
We were like, yeah, okay. It's okay. Cool. We're hungry. Where's my butter chicken?
Oh, and also you didn't talk about you went to Ad Week with your boo.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So my boyfriend, Jonte, he was nominated for the Ad Color TikTok Creator Award. So we went to New York and we went to the award show and the conference and met a bunch of cool people and ate really great food. And he did not win, but it was great for him to be nominated. And we had a great time in New York for a couple days. And it further reminded me why I do not live in New York.
Why?
It's just not for me. It's just it's too much.
Too much going on.
Too much. Just 4 days. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Day four, I'm like, take me home.
Right.
You got to walk. It's cold. There's trash everywhere. There's people everywhere. Nothing makes sense. I just, yeah. No.
The rats are size of bunny rabbits.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I, so I saw one when we were walking from this club at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I genuinely thought it was a cat. Because in LA, you know, you're like, oh, look, a cat. Nope. That's not a cat.
That's right. And the thing is that they're so unbothered by you. They don't scramble. And you think they're bunny rabbits or cats because they're just casually just mosey on about their business. As if they like don't even, you know, give a shit.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. I know. Yeah, I mean, I had like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm torn on New York. When I was there at different points, like at one point almost a year, another point like 8 months. You know, during my stay in Los Angeles, I've been in LA for about 16 years, but I went to New York briefly at different times. And I will say that New York will make you feel alive.
Yes.
Like, the, you know, you are being hit with elements. You're being hit with people you don't want to interact with. It's just loud. It's aggressive. And you really have to be, you know, you have to have your wits about you.
Yeah. I took a long nap every day. Like, I would come back to the hotel and go to sleep for, like, 3 hours. Because I was like, I need a break.
And it's interesting to hear that now. I mean, so you're basically saying it's back to normal. New York is back the way it was?
Everything's back. Everything is just like it was. Because I hadn't been since we were there years ago. Years ago. Oh, speaking of.
That was a struggle.
So something had changed. So I went and got a lap dance from a stripper at this bar. Sidebar. But did you know that they have iPads with timers now?
No.
And they're, yes.
Are you talking about Nowhere Bar?
It wasn't Nowhere Bar, but it was a very similar
parking.
Setup.
Okay, no problem.
But I couldn't even remember the name.
They had a time.
But
no,
last time that I was in the situation, it was just, you know, whatever, get your rate when you're done, however long you're back there. No. Now it's like by the song or by the minute. And when it was done, he pulled this little iPad mini with like the whole like time and the start and the stop. And was like, here's what you owe me.
And he was like, Poppy.
Basically.
Money.
Like, you gonna go to the ATM? I was like, yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't even have a little thing where they could swipe it and just Venmo.
Listen, it would have been a lot easier. He probably would have got more money because I was like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. Here's the cash I have. And he was like, I'll take it. I was like, great.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. Man. And then also you have to be careful too. They would pick your pocket at the same time.
They will.
They grinding on you doing all the stuff and take all your money.
They do. And it was funny because afterwards we were just watching people because that's my favorite thing to do. And it's crazy to see how they hound whoever's at an ATM for any reason. Like there's like one, two, or three, like all watching the ATM in the club, which, you know.
It's a whole situation.
It's a whole situation.
You know, actually,
it's a hustle.
I saw something recently where I was watching an influencer on TikTok. Same difference.
Same
thing. And she was talking about how she hated her trip to Marrakesh or Morocco because she said that she was hustled from the moment she got there. There were pickpocketers trying to pickpocket her. Little kids would try to come up and take money out of her pocket.
Yeah.
The taxis would just charge you whatever they want to charge you. The prices for everything was just, you know, exponentially more than they should. She felt like her whole trip, she was hustled.
Yeah.
And that's a part of what a lot of people don't talk about when they go to these countries and you only see these picture perfect, beautiful TikToks and Instagrams. But the reality is a lot of these places are a lot different than what you think.
Very much so. And you have to be kind of aggressive. Like if you don't hustle them, they will hustle you. You know, and you don't know until you go out and do it.
Right.
So it's just it's a thing you just kind of have to take with you.
Because what triggered it was when you were talking about how they were watching you at the ATM.
Right.
And that reminds me of behavior that I have experienced in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced that when I went to DR, where it's like, and you have to remember a lot of these places that you're going to, you may be going to a super nice resort, but once you step off of that resort, it's basically poverty around you.
Correct. Or
and you, that is not a stereotype. I'm definitely on my way to Punta Cana, to the resort in Punta Cana. It definitely was like some shanty town where the people who worked at the resort would live. And you look at their accommodations and how what they have to live in to be able to go and wait on these rich tourists.
Right.
It's crazy. So, you can't look at them like if they were to steal something, would you blame them?
No.
Would we miss it? I mean, yeah, but not as much as it would potentially help them.
Right.
So that's why, I mean, a lot of times I just be going to, you know, Miami, Maui, because I'm just like, I be faced with certain realities. When you go to other places, it makes you kind of sad.
I know. I remember when we were in Mykonos, Jonathan and I were at a bar outside, and these little kids came up. Because the kids will get you. The kids will get you. Uh-huh. And they had, like, bracelets or dolls or whatever. And they're like, please, please, bye, please, please, please. And they threw their bodies on us to, like, hug us. And I was like, Jonte, make sure, have your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. But they were trying to,
they were trying to steal
And I was like, we're not doing this.
You felt the little hands trying to go in your pockets.
I felt like when you go to hug somebody, you don't hug from around their lower waist where your pockets are.
Yep.
I don't care if we're sitting down or not, but they were like head and lap, like, please, please, please.
Yep. They've been trained.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what the influencer said on her TikTok was that she would never forget the feeling of little hands trying to reach in her pocket.
Yeah. It's the kids. They're trained early. But like it's one of those things like you don't know unless you know. Like, had it been just some rando, oblivious tourist, like a lot of them
are. Or think about if you're drunk.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little feistier when I'm drunk, thank God.
Right. You've been a smacked up a little kid.
And listen, I almost did. He almost got. I grabbed him off me. I was like, yeah, no, thank you. And I was like, I hate to push a little kid in front of people, but at the same time, I know exactly what's going on.
And you
on
need
here.
Your passport.
Like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Why aren't you asleep?
Right.
I'm drunk at Jackie O's, and you up here trying to pickpocket me.
Yep.
Get out of here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I will punt a child.
Not punt. just...
sure will.
Oh, let's talk about some of the pop culture news and things from LoveBeScott.com.
Well, Courtney and Travis got engaged.
They did. I'm so happy for them.
I'm excited.
They are two of the most nonchalant, unbothered people, so I'm happy that they are together.
Yeah.
And they have definitely been shooting that for their new Hulu show.
Because
them cameras are rolling.
Rolling.
Baby.
Which, it's good because I feel like for, 20 seasons of Keeping Up, we haven't really gotten like a Courtney-driven situation outside of Scott. I think that for the Kardashians to have a second life, Courtney will do it.
Absolutely. And it's nice to finally see Courtney having some type of storyline where she wants to participate, because they really painted her out to be that she was over it and she was just trying to, you know, live her life and raise her kids.
She's a mom.
And so now I'm just really happy that she has something that she can talk about with passion.
That's a lot of passion.
Right. And I don't know whether, did we talk about, well, apparently his ex-wife is upset.
She's been upset for a minute.
So she's been saying all type of things about it. And she was saying that actually Travis has slept with Kim.
That's what she tried to say.
She tried to say that, but she literally flat out said it. And then Kim said it's not true.
Never happened.
And it was just like a series of things that I just felt like she was
like
just
liking comments on Instagram and just real petty stuff.
And saying like she was, you know, it was weird how he's doing the same type of things for her that he, that for, you know, Courtney that he did for her back, you know, when they were together. So it just really, it came around like really, very negative Nancy.
Very bitter.
Very like, I still want him. I still love him, which into a certain degree is understandable, but at a certain point you got to let it go. And she's not trying to let it go, I mean, apparently. And I also saw Kim hosting Saturday Night Live. I don't think we talked about that.
We haven't.
She did an amazing job.
She did.
A lot of people were very critical about her, you know, being put in that position. But I think that it worked because she did not come on the show to promote something she was doing, like a TV show.
Right.
Or clothing or her beauty line or whatever. She came on the show to be a host. And she committed to it. And it was funny as hell.
It was funny.
That opening monologue, when I tell you that she roasted her whole entire family, and including herself too.
Herself too. You have to.
It was so good. It was so spot on. All the little skits were good. I have, you know, nothing but good things to say about that.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Me neither. The grown women in the club, I think, was my favorite. Because that was relatable content.
It just dawned on me. It was something that my Love Muffins have been asking me to talk about. And I'm going to address it because I do feel strongly about it. And that's Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that Dave Chappelle is a very talented man. And he is a genius. His delivery and his ability to tell a story and to bring it all home. Really, if you weren't a part of the community that he was saying the things about, it would be almost impossible for you to be offended. That's how good he is. But the thing is, when you're that talented, why do you need to spend 37 minutes, think about it, of his show? 37 minutes of the show was about trans people. And one part in particular was really disgusting to me. And that was the part where he was basically saying about trans people saying that it's not a real pussy. That's the words he was using. That it was impossible pussy. What? It's not real blood. It's beet juice. So I don't see how anyone could think that is something that can be allowed to stand in today's society.
Right.
Because no one deserves to be reduced down to their body parts. You know, no man wants to be reduced down to their penis, how big it is, how non-existent it is, how big your balls are, how not balls are, or whatever's going on there, or a woman, you know, how it smells, or if you have organs or not having organs, you know, because a big thing now for a lot of my girlfriends and stuff, they're coming to an age in life where they're thinking about getting hysterectomies because they've been dealing with fibroids and it just might be easier to kind of take it all out. You know what I mean? So it's like, do you want to be reduced to just your body parts to be able to be who you are? And that's what he did. And he put focus on that. He stripped away the identity of people and just say, I'm going to make jokes about your parts. And that to me is that you're depriving me of space. You're depriving me of a right to decency, a right to not be reduced down to what I have or don't have or whatever you deem to be things that are appropriate for me. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And 37 minutes.
That's a long time. I haven't seen it, but that's a lot. That's a lot.
And I mean, but if you think about it, people don't talk about things like that for that long.
Unless they're infatuated with them.
Hmm.
I've had a lot of conversations about it over the last couple of days. and apparently this is like a running theme in his stand-up. Like he spends a portion of, I think, every show or like the last couple specials talking about the community in some way.
Yep. And I think that it's getting to a point where maybe because we've seen it so many times, it has to become more and more aggressive in order for him to have the moment that he's having. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are now going and watching the show just to see what the hype is about. Right. And that's a part of what they wanted to do. But as he's doing that, he is creating a space and creating language that allows for Black trans people to be murdered almost every day. Mm-hmm. Because when you're making the jokes about a person not really being or being a real something, or it's not real, it's not a real pussy, it's not a, it's a beyond the meat, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that means that people can interpret that to be like, well, I can disrespect that person.
Right.
I can treat that person as less than human. I can rape that person. I could murder that person. And it's not, you know what I mean? It's not it's not that big of a deal because that person doesn't deserve respect. That person doesn't deserve to hold space. And I think people, I've always said this, and I now go back to it more than ever. It, for me, is that we're all somebody's child. We're all somebody's loved one. We all deserve to be able to live in this world with respect. And if you as a comedian can't get up on stage and find something else that could be funny in your life without having to harp on one group for 37 fucking minutes, then maybe you're not as much of a genius as I thought you were.
Well,
maybe you are also just a gimmick. Because a part of being funny is too, you just take random situations that you have every day in your life on the street and you make it funny. Mm-hmm. That's what true good stand-up is about. He came in. This was like premeditated attack. This was something he knew he was going to come in about. He had his whole story together, and he tried to make it like it wasn't that bad of a thing at the end because of the woman who, you know, passed away, and he helped the you know what I mean?
Right. That was the only part that I had, like, heard about. But then once I was like, it was like an ongoing thing, then I was like, okay.
He's trying to show that, you know, he's trying to show some humanity. No, Dave, not after you reduce us to a point where we don't even deserve to have respect and decency to not discuss what we have in our privates. Yeah. That's a private, why it's called fucking privates is because it's a private fucking conversation.
Hello.
And a lot of stuff that you're saying may or may not apply to other people too. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people say like, well, trans women or trans men or whatever can't have kids or whatever the case may be. Well, a lot of women that were born biologically women can't have kids either.
Right.
What about that? So are they not women because they can't have, they can't bear children? Do you get what I'm saying?
No, like
it's
no,
a
I hear
whole,
you.
It's a whole slippery slope that, you know, everything's funny until it's you. And then I also didn't like the juxtaposition of why do you always have to, people want to merge, you know, and talk about how the LGBTQI plus community can come together when someone transgresses against them, as opposed when something happens to the Black community that they don't get the same type of reaction potentially, right? So he was basically making the analogy of like, they wouldn't do that for a Black man who was, you know, like it was like this whole, like, but the point is that they're LGBTQI plus people in the Black community.
Absolutely. You're missing the community.
You're missing the community. Hi, I'm here.
Hello.
And a lot of the people that I saw in Black Lives Matter were queer people.
Absolutely.
Marching and protesting and organizing and all of that. And what
the majority of the people who do the work are black women and queer people.
What Dave Chappelle did is divisive. It is not something that we need. There is no place for it. It's bigoted. It is. It's bigoted. And that's why I also think that it's so beautiful what me and Lena are doing. At the same time, the reason why Shade Room, Ball Alert, all the other places posted a clip from my show was because, yes, it is me, but all at the same time, it is a part of what's being discussed right now. Mm-hmm. I'm a trans non-binary person, and we're sitting there talking about, you know, if you at home questioning whether or not it gets better, it does get better. And we're also showing love to each other. It humanizes us. That's why the clip was so beautiful. Me and Lena sitting there showing love on each other. And Lena saying to me that when I first started watching your videos, You inspired me, and I didn't feel like I was so alone. That shows that we are human. Mm-hmm. We are human. No one deserves to have 37 minutes of just tearing them down and making jokes. That's how I feel about it. It's like unnecessary. I responded, somebody asked me or posted something in support of it, and I literally responded to the friend and said, unnecessary. And it's crazy how people want to speak on identity when they don't understand it at all.
Yeah.
Didn't even take the chance or the time to understand it. But you have such a strong perspective to defend Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about it. It's just like, you know, I'm like, really? Again?
See, that's how I feel about it. It's just, I don't understand why. You know?
Really?
I just don't understand. And at first I was like, okay, like, what is the line that we draw in comedy?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, jokes, can they have any, like, subversive elements? I'm like, sure. Yeah, they can. But, one, I didn't watch it. Mm-hmm. And in having conversations with people in the days afterwards, mm-hmm. I've just been kind of listening to kind of see how people have reacted and how people feel. At the end of the day, he was definitely in the wrong.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too, where it is hurtful sometimes when you're talking to people and they ask you what you think about it. And you can hear about how what they say or not say, that they really don't see anything wrong with it. Mm-hmm. And they literally have somebody like me in their life.
Right.
And you just, you know, secretly.
Or and some people.
They don't want to say it, but right. They just like, they didn't see the big deal. Well, the big deal is, if it was you or something that you identify with and he right. was going in on it for 37 motherfucking minutes, or there was, if you want, since he wants to bring up race, if there was a white person that did a stand-up comedy hour on Netflix and for 37 minutes he talked in the most derogatory way about black people.
It'd be a problem.
Absolutely.
A huge problem.
Absolutely. So I just think that, you know, to me, I was disgusted.
Yeah.
Throw it away. Throw it away. And I do believe Netflix will eventually, I don't know when it's going to happen, but they will fall back from their position.
They're trying. It's going to be hard, though. They've invested so much money. They have conference rooms in their offices named after him. Like, his face is everywhere, you know. But like I was telling a friend who works at Netflix, if you as a black person want to go out into the world and demand that we tear down these Confederate monuments and things that offend black people, then you can't be surprised when your trans employees are demanding that they rename conference rooms and take his face off of marketing.
Yep.
Because it's the same thing.
Yep. You can't pick and choose what you want to be woke about.
You can't. You
and
can't.
People constantly try to pick and choose what they want to be woke about. Mm-hmm. They want to be woke about the thing they belong to. Mm-hmm. And then when something happens to your group, you want everybody to be up in arms about it. But you say divisive shit like that and then get mad at the groups that do come together when some shit goes down. You right. can't be mad at the groups that come together for shit goes down.
Because your group doesn't.
Right. And then what do you expect for the people who are belong to your group, but also the other group?
You know?
But you just attacked them. It's the same thing. I feel the same way about Dave Chappelle as I do about DaBaby. It's unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
What the fuck?
Talk about something else.
I mean, the next time he does a stand-up comedy hour or whatever, he's going to take the whole fucking hour, 2 hours, talk about trans people?
Probably.
And our right not to exist? I mean, it was just a lot for me.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. And I know my Love Muffins probably, you know, may have different things about it. And don't think that just because you see certain people going on different shows to say that they're okay with what Dave Chappelle said, but by no means think that they are representative of the community. Mm-mm. They represent themselves and mm-hmm. how they feel about the particular topic. Mm-hmm. I just know that nobody would want their child to be talked about in that way. That's why, I mean, if you're going to break it down to that fundamental part, if it was your child, would you want your child to be dissected down to the basic parts? And there are some people that have been born and don't they have issues with the parts that they're supposed to have.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you say shit like that, it hits a lot of people. Anyway, that's how I feel about it. Fuck you, Dave. Fuck you. I would say some other stuff, but I ain't trying to be too controversial today.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
What else do we have? So, I mean, the Housewives of Atlanta has started taping.
Mm-hmm. Cynthia, I guess, called out Kenya for whatever went down at...
Yep.
The girls trip.
The girls trip. The all stars. Mm-hmm. That's what I call them.
Mm-hmm. I think we do have a clip of that.
We do?
I think okay. we do.
You know what? We actually did, but his. And that was, you know, very disappointing for me. That was very unfortunate because obviously I started to trip like, hey, we're going to be Thelma and Louise. Like, we're on one of the hardest franchises ever. So this was supposed to be a cakewalk for her. But, I mean, excuse me. This was supposed to be a cakewalk for us. And right. I already knew I was going in pretty strong with at least two friends because I had Kenya. You know, she was going to be my Thelma to my Louise. And I had Luann, who I'm really good friends with. So everyone else I knew, but I didn't really know. So I was going to like, okay, I got two with me and I can just get to know the rest of the ladies. So no, I did not anticipate that my friend that I was going with on the trip, you know, that we were going to have some issues.
Yeah, I mean, I could tell that something was not right with them even before they went on the trip. The last season of the show, they didn't seem like they were in the best of places.
I'm trying to think back.
Yeah, it was.
I don't remember.
It was very, very touch and go. I felt like. And now that she's not on the show anymore, I feel like she may even more so be looking at certain things some kind of way.
Gotcha.
And you can also tell that she's not really trying to. They're not really supporting each other as much on their Instagrams.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, things change and rearrange. And I think that at the end of the day, you got to sometimes have unexpected beefs on reality shows.
To make them interesting.
To make them interesting. So maybe this will be a part of the reason why people will want to tune into this all-star show.
To see what happened.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
What happens next?
I don't know. So Wendy Williams.
Wendy. I hear she's not coming back.
I don't think she's coming back at all.
That's another thing. I think we just need to throw it all away. I mean, I'm so tired of seeing these people that they're getting to come and host. Like, we don't want them. It's called the Wendy Williams Show.
It's a new show now. It's
yeah,
a new show.
We want the Wendy Williams Show. And I'm not talking about people individually. Don't get me wrong. The people on the show that are sitting in, substituting for her right now, have careers and this thing and the other. But at the end of the day, put them all together, it feels very like the Misfits.
Yep.
Because they are not the right fit for the show.
Right. TV's TV for a reason. Like, yeah. A lot of thought goes into who gets to sit up there.
I turned on Wendy Williams and it was like two white women. I said, wait a minute. Wendy Williams is a black woman.
Oh my God.
And I turned on TV, not one white woman, but two.
I think I did see that clip.
I said, what the fuck is this? But no shade to them two women. But I mean, but it's like, one of them was Lisa, what's her name?
Lisa Remini.
She was the one that was going into Scientology, and now she's hosting the Wendy Williams Show. Throw the show away. Cancel it. There's nothing wrong with coming in and saying it's canceled.
No, we got to stop this. Or at least throw reruns on until forever.
It's a lot of stuff that needs to be canceled on television right now. Listen. It's a lot of stuff. It's just a lot of things going on.
It reminds me of, like, remember back in school when, like, your teacher would be sick and they would, like, somehow forget to get a sub.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids were just in there for, like, 20 minutes and one teacher would come in and be like, who's your teacher? And, like, we don't know.
We don't know.
And that's so literally, they're, like, walking back and forth to kind of, like, look at the classroom.
And then it was another panel of, like, four people that we have already said collectively we don't want to see.
Right.
And they back.
Like, who's your teacher? We don't know.
It's like... I mean, is that what I'm going to experience with my television show? Meaning, like, you know, once you get into the system, you just keep seeing me no matter how
do. Whether they want you or not.
Whether they want you or not, you just keep popping up.
Yep.
Because, like, Wendy's show, honestly, this is the facts. She has not been in the right headspace for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
She's been off for years.
Mm-hmm.
And now she can't even physically host her own show.
Right.
Cancel it.
I agree.
cancel it. And some other shows need to be canceled too, but for sakes of friendships and situations, I ain't gonna speak on it. But one of the shows reminds me of when Monique had a show and all she did was yell.
Yeah, that clink. that means.
So stop yelling at people. But anyway, I just think that, you know, Wendy, I do not think it's going to end well in general. I saw recently where a lot of the people on the show are abandoning ship. They're leaving, mm-hmm. Going on to other jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I also saw that Tamron Hall is having a lot of issues. I mean, she's on, I think, her third or fourth executive producer.
They called it toxic.
Showrunner or something. Like, I mean, she's been going through mm-hmm. head people.
And you wonder why.
I don't know. I mean, when it gets to a point where there's enough smoke, there's bound to be a fire.
Oh, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. Whatever it is, it'll come out.
It's like if I was showing my ass on my show, it's going to come out.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I mean.
It always does.
I felt like I was like every 5 minutes, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Right.
Thank you. It all goes back to years ago. One of my friends said to me that was helping me with something. He said, I thank you every now and then would be nice.
Who said that?
One of my friends.
No.
And instead of me getting upset, I said, you know what? You're right. And so now I go out my way to say thank you. I watch my tone.
Mm.
And especially when you're in a position of you are the namesake of the show, you have to be even more careful
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that people really are looking at you and the dynamics are a certain way already.
Mm-hmm.
So you really do have to go out your way to be nice. And sometimes it's hard. I mean, sometimes I'm in a bitch mood.
Right.
I don't mean to be bitchy to you, but I'm in a bitch mood. So I'm.
And every now and then, okay, but you cannot do it 5 out of 7 days a week.
Correct.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
And so, I mean, I think it's television is just all over.
It's hard. It's in COVID. You know, there's a lot going on.
I mean, just daytime in general is just like, Lord, help us.
Well.
All the shows. It's okay, like.
You see The View. They got Megan's book telling people things. And they're like, it's not like that. And, you know.
I bet it is. I mean, The View definitely feels very toxic.
Oh, for sure. On both sides.
Yeah. I mean, all over the place.
I think Megan's telling some truth. I think everybody else is telling some truth. And it's somewhere in the middle.
I knew The View wasn't shit when they did that split screen.
Yeah.
That split screen was iconic. When they cut everybody else out and it was Rosie and Elizabeth, I said, all these people on this show are going to hell. I'll never forget it. It literally was like the Brady Bunch. It went TV. Split screen, like they were going back and forth, and people, they were so passionate.
Mm.
And I was like, those producers are, they ain't shit.
Mm. Sidebar, do you watch The Morning Show on Apple TV?
Please? No.
You should. It's so good. It's so good. You have to.
I literally don't. I need to watch more TV in general. I don't. Now, the only thing that I'm excited about is the prequel that's coming for Game of Thrones.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
It's the only thing.
I knew it.
The only thing. And my girlfriend's show that she is directing the second season of Wheel of Time.
On Amazon or Prime Video.
On Prime Video. And the only thing that gives me a little pause about that is that I read the article about how Jeff Bezos basically came into his team and said, I want a Game of Thrones.
Oh, hell.
And so I wish that he would have given Wheel of Time the space to just be
its own thing.
Its own thing without the pressure of, you know. But I'm going to give it I'm going to look at it and be very objective about it because I love, that's my favorite genre.
What's it called again?
Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time.
Wheel of Time. Okay. Not Wheel of Fortune, but Wheel of Time.
Okay.
But it has a lot of the same themes from what I can see. It's like, because I have not read the book. It's based on a series of books as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like they're banding together to, you know, fight some type of evil that could wipe out civilization. There are some wolves.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's like
Twilight action.
It's Twilight action, but also Game of Thrones.
Okay, you know? Let me tell you, I've never seen Game of Thrones. So I will give that a go and watch it independently, and I will report back.
You need to watch Game of Thrones.
I'm not watching Game of Thrones. So I was going.
You said you're not?
No, seriously, I was going to.
Watch your tone. No, you better watch your tone.
So listen, I was going to. I was like, I'm going to watch it after it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talked about it. I don't have to worry about spoilers because I don't know anything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody said that last finale was terrible. And I was like, I can't set myself up like that.
No, it wasn't terrible. It's just that the episodes leading up to the finale were so fucking good. There's nothing. There's no moment on television that I've ever seen was the moment when Cersei was getting ready to take the throne, but they were expecting her to go and face judgment.
Are you going to tell me the thing? Yeah. Go let me watch it.
No.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't seen it? No. What? I thought you would. You look like you would love the Game of Thrones.
Oh, is that?
Yes. You look like the classic person that would be at Comic-Con, ready to like dress up. With your, what, you know you got your swords at home.
No.
You got your swords. You got the little baby dragons and they be fighting.
But here's the thing, I know certain things happen, mm-hmm. but I have no connection to the story.
That's kind of how I feel, like, just to be honest, to be my honest opinion, that's kind of how I feel about what happened with me at BET and the people who were behind what happened to me years ago.
What?
I feel like what I just did was a Cersei moment.
Okay. I wish I got the reference.
They all gone at once. But my love.
Well, I remember that. Yeah.
Love muffins who watch Game of Thrones. You know what I'm saying? But Cersei got the ultimate victory.
Okay.
Like, all these people were plotting against her. Mm. Literally plotting against her. They thought they got her. They thought that she got her so good. And then it's just a scene of her just standing there. And she's, you know what I mean?
Is she the North? Or that's somebody else?
She's not the North.
Okay, see?
Yeah.
I'll just watch it.
Yeah.
I'll get to it.
Yeah, she's not the North.
I just know the North remembers. I'm like, who the fuck is the North?
The North remembers some of the things that Cersei's family did.
Got you. So the other people.
The Lannisters.
Okay.
She's
the dragons?
No.
Oh, well, shit.
No, she's not. Okay. She's not dragons.
But the spinoff is the dragons.
Correct. But the dragons before, it tells a story of before what happened on Game of Thrones.
Got you. And I saw black people in that.
Absolutely. They heard the diversity memo.
Yeah. So they had them before, and somehow they just wiped out.
It's kind of like Sex in the City. Like, none of them got black
people. Gonna go. Which I'm so excited for.
We didn't
for.
Exist before.
But I'm so excited for it. I'm so excited for it.
But it's just so good. Like, the Cersei moment is like, it was so impactful because you think she's, it leaves off where you know she's going to go to trial.
Mm.
And then you see her getting ready, and then it's apparent, you start, at a certain point, you realize she's not going.
Oh.
She's not going to trial. She's getting ready to be queen.
Oh, shit. Okay. I may give it a whirl.
Yeah. And that's what, in my own little way, of, you know, affordable crowns and things. Me sitting there, and I know it felt campy, you know. I'm a little campy, got my dress on, my little dangles. I got it right now.
Right, your dangles.
My little dangles. A little dangly thing in the back of my throat. Dangles, the crown, the scepter. It was my own little, like...
moment.
I'm the queen of the moment.
I feel that.
But it's like Cersei. So you, I mean, if anybody who's listening to me and listen to the show right now, you need to watch Game of Thrones. Don't be that person.
I am that person right
you
now.
Need, I mean, you got the nerve to sit here and open up your mouth and tell me to go watch something else and you have not watched Game of Thrones? How dare you?
Well, listen, different taste.
And you too, Brian.
Okay, I was...
And you, I mean, you look like the number one fan.
I'm not.
You are like that. You are who they want. They need you. I'm the one. I don't think I'm the one that should be watching this type of, not being, I mean, but being stereotypical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they like, is
well,
a,
I mean, not black, there aren't black people in it. So they clearly weren't thinking about you when they were making it.
No. What I'm used to not being thought about.
No, I mean, same. So I'm like, no, white folks and dragons in the snow.
But
three things that have nothing to do with
but
me.
There were some, there's some gays in there.
I'm sure. There's some gays in history. Listen, it's Hollywood. They're going to put some gays in.
Yeah, they had it popping.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Mm. But they needed something like, and it needs something.
That's what they should have led with. I may have watched it had I known they're going to be popping like that.
Mm-hmm. But I think probably, like you said, in the prequel, they added because they realized that they created a whole imaginary world that black people don't exist.
But you got dragons, but no black people.
Yes, not mystical black people are not there.
No, but dragons.
Yeah.
All right.
But there was a show on Netflix that I really liked that had black people in it that I really loved. What was the name of the damn show? It was, Yes, it was, and it had like that fine man that plays Superman, and he had blonde hair. It's on Netflix. It's like a sorcery show, and they're coming out with a second season.
Was it the girl from 13 Reasons Why?
I think so.
I know the show.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know the show, yeah.
And she was like, at first she was like a little, I don't know what the right word is, disabled. And but then the, she used witchcraft and she became like, you know, it healed her, but she couldn't have kids because of she had to give her cervix.
The trailer.
The Witcher.
Witcher.
The Witcher. And that had black people in it. And I liked it. I just like that mystical.
You do. That's your genre.
Period pieces. You know what I mean? It's like you mix the two together. You got me, hook, line, and sinker. Mm. But anyway, I digress. And I also think because it's getting really hot in this room that we need to bring this podcast to a close before I fall out. It's been real, Love Muffins. I thank you so much for hanging in there with us. We're trying to keep these podcasts as consistent as possible, but Mama is busy.
She is.
She got a lot going on. She's trying to secure the future and the bag and be grateful and keep my sanity. And all these things I'm trying to do. So I'm going to continue to show up here as much as I can, as much as possible. I appreciate you watching the 20s after show every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Please set your DVRs. Please watch it. Support me because it's a special moment. And I believe that it's the first moment on television that I'm having that's going to be the first of many.
Woo-woo.
So I believe this is my first run at television, and you're going to see a lot more of me. And I'm so grateful for it. And hopefully we will navigate television the right way and be respectful to people.
Yeah.
And be present and be able to host my own show. I hopefully won't need a cast of characters to come in and own the B. Scott show, even though sometimes I do it on this show. Let me not talk so much shit. You know, I just hope that, you know, it's continued to be a beautiful experience. And once again, thank you, BET.
Yes.
Thank you, Lena Waithe. Thank you, Scott Mills. Thank you, Hillman Grad. Thank you, Rishi. Everyone who made my BET television moment happen. And of course, my Love Muffins.
Mm-hmm.
My Love Muffins have been supporting me and watching me. And those numbers, my first, you know, first episode premiere was strong.
They're good.
I mean,
they're better.
Being that people don't really watch TV, traditional TV anymore.
Right.
That's damn good. Shit, I surprised myself. I said, oh, shit.
Look at that.
Look at God. And that's a damn miracle. Well, Love Muffins, thank you so much. Please subscribe to our show. Please tell a friend.
Yes.
Please continue to do all those things. We are going to be here as much as possible.
You know.
Thank you, Denver, for being here.
You know, I got you.
You know, and thank you, Brian, for being here, and the rest of the gang, and Dominique and Walker. They couldn't be here today, but we're sure going to be hearing from them at some point in the future.
Y'all be holding it down.
Yep, the gang is, you know, always here somehow, some way. And until next time, double kisses. Mwah, mwah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to The B. Scott Show. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Love B. Scott. And make sure you review the show on iTunes. And you can always find me on lovebscott.com.